You could win an audio DVD of every presentation from all six Issues Etc. Making the Case conferences. Record your answer to the question, Issues Etc. What does this mean? On our comment line, 618-223-8382. If we play your answer during Issues Etc., we'll send you a conference audio DVD of almost 50 hours of teaching. 618-223-8382 and answer the question, Issues Etc., what does this mean? Please be sure to mention where you listen.
My judicial philosophy is straightforward. A judge must be independent and must interpret the law, not make the law. A judge must interpret statutes as written, and a judge must interpret the Constitution as written, informed by history and tradition and precedent. Tomorrow, I begin meeting with members of the Senate, which plays an essential role in this process. I will tell each senator that I revere the Constitution. I believe that an independent judiciary is the crown jewel of our constitutional republic. If confirmed by the Senate, I will keep an open mind in every case, and I will always strive to preserve the Constitution of the United States and the American rule of law. Thank you, Mr. President.
That's U.S. Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh speaking last night after President Donald Trump announced him as his choice to fill Anthony Kennedy's vacant seat on the U.S. Supreme Court. Many are warning that this means the end of, well, the world, or maybe just Roe v. Wade in particular. Many are delighted that this choice was made, that this was a stellar choice for the president following what they believe is a first stellar choice of Neil Gorsuch. There's no doubt about it. The face of the Supreme Court is going to change. What will the future Supreme Court look like after decades and decades of that swing vote of Anthony Kennedy on key social and moral issues of concern to the United States people? Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking with Dr. Frank Beckwith, professor of philosophy and church state studies at Baylor University, about Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. A little bit later, we will answer the question, do Americans really support Roe v. Wade? You can read it all the time. I read it just this morning, that Americans support Roe v. Wade by 75%. Is that true? And if not, what do Americans really think about Roe v. Wade and abortion? Dr. Charles Camosi will be our guest, Associate Professor of Theological and Social Ethics at Fordham University. Joining us to talk about the Supreme Court nominee, the latest Supreme Court nominee, Brett Kavanaugh, Dr. Frank Beckwith. He's a regular guest, Professor of Philosophy and Church State Studies at Baylor University and author of several books, including Politics for Christians and Defending Life. Dr. Beckwith, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Well, thank you for having me. It's great to be back on.
You were in our nation's capital last night outside the U.S. Supreme Court building. Tell us what you heard and what you saw.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you why I was here. I didn't fly out for the nomination. It just happens to be that Baylor University is hosting a one-week seminar for graduate students and law students in Washington, D.C., and I'm helping lead it. So I happen to be here. And so after dinner last night, several of us, myself and several of the grad students, walked to the Supreme Court building to watch on our iPhones the nomination while sort of taking in the atmosphere. And there were, several hundred people, maybe up to 1,000, protesting from different points of view. There were people with signs supporting same-sex marriage, people opposing abortion and taking a stand for the sanctity of life. Some of them were speaking through microphones with little speakers and amplifiers, and it was quite a scene. It was a sort of a cacophony of voices and people speaking, and seeing that I on Facebook last night, I did a live feed on Facebook with commentary, and one of the points I made was, you know, despite all these deep disagreements that we have, we live in a country with a constitution that allows us to voice those disagreements and to debate in public. So there was something both kind of strange about it and at the same time, something pretty ordinary about it. that this is what we Americans do because we have that Constitution.
While you were there at the U.S. Supreme Court building, the Washington Post was putting out a story issued last night at 9:35 p.m. It was titled, Judge Brett Kavanaugh, a Catholic, faces a historical struggle between canon and constitutional law, obviously emphasizing his Roman Catholicism. What do you make of that particular take on this nominee?
Yeah, you know, I've not read that editorial, but it really is, I think, a sign of a type of religious bigotry that has unfortunately been part of America. Many of us thought had vanished, but it's still there. I mean, the reality is, no matter what judge sits on the court or any court, there are going to be times where a justice or a justice is going to have to rule in terms of the law that they may disagree with. In fact, Justice Scalia famously said that he hates flag burning. He thinks flag burning's awful. But under our First Amendment, he voted to support the right of citizens to protest by means of flag burning. The Washington Post editorial is referring to sanctity of life position held by the Catholic Church as well as other Christians. The fact is that when it comes to the question of Roe v. Wade and the sanctity of human life, there's a live question here about whether the Constitution actually requires a right to abortion. And that is not a Catholic or Protestant or religious question. It's a legal question. And so one could, like the late John Hart Eli, who's the former dean of Yale Law School, argue that Roe v. Wade is not defensible as an opinion, even though Eli himself supported the right to abortion by legislation. So the Washington Post, again, I've not read the piece, but if they're saying somehow that the judge's Catholicism is inconsistent with the right to abortion, that's true. But the question of whether the right to abortion is found in the Constitution, that's a legal question. And that one can say that it's not in the Constitution and be an atheist. That has nothing to do with religion at all.
It seems to insinuate, the Washington Post column seems to insinuate, that along with Neil Gorsuch, and even though I think Neil Gorsuch may be a baptized Catholic but attends Episcopal Church, but now the court is dominated by Roman Catholics, and that is somehow an unhealthy situation. What do you make of that?
Well, for over a century, the Supreme Court was dominated by white Anglo-Saxon Protestants when the country wasn't 100% white Anglo-Saxon Protestant. We also have three Jewish members of the court. That's 33% of the court, and yet I think Jews make up maybe less than 8% of the American public, if that many. So it's an odd thing to say. There's a variety of reasons why Catholics have gravitated to the practice of law. I think my own view on this, it happens to be the fact that in the early 20th century, the largest group of immigrants other than Jews were Italian and Irish Catholics. And the quickest and fastest way to gain political legitimacy in the United States is to enter professions like law and medicine, which don't rely on your family ties, it just relies on your sort of native abilities. And so it doesn't surprise me that the Supreme Court tends to be dominated in this day and age with the children and grandchildren of those immigrants, both Jewish and Catholic. So it doesn't, that's the reason why I think we see it. That's Beckwith's pet theory. I could be totally wrong about it, but that's the way I tend to see it.
So what was your reaction to the announcement? Most Americans had no reaction because they weren't paying attention. The ones who were paying attention probably reacted the way I did, which was, oh, Brett Kavanaugh. Who's Brett Kavanaugh? Yeah. What was your reaction?
Well, you know, I think I was pulling for Amy Barrett. She was sort of my emotional choice because I think her youth, her incredible intelligence, and the fact that she would have been a conservative woman appointed to the court, I thought that would have been terrific. But I understand why Kavanaugh was chosen. I think he was a good choice. He is somebody associated with the Federalist Society, which is a group of conservative and libertarian lawyers and law students that was created in the early 1980s. He, while working with the Federalist Society, he was running the Religious Liberty Group in the Federalist Society. He's got an incredible pedigree and has ruled from the bench in ways that are consistent with originalism, which is the philosophy of constitutional interpretation embraced by Justice Scalia. You know, one thing I think a lot of people don't realize that the Federalist Society, because it's only been around since 1982, really didn't influence the way in which Republican and conservative presidents chose nominees until the mid-2000s. It took a generation of those young law students that started the Federalist Society in the early 80s to become themselves lawyers and graduate from the more prestigious law schools. So I my own thought was this is a good choice. I didn't know a lot about Judge Kavanaugh's record. I had heard of him. I knew of his work, especially as a law professor at Yale Law School. And I think it was a good choice. I think he's a replacement for Justice Kennedy that will be conservative. I don't know how many of Justice Kennedy's rulings he agrees with or disagrees with, but I think he was a good choice.
When we come back from this break, we'll continue our conversation with Dr. Frank Beckwith, professor of philosophy and church-state studies at Baylor University. We're going to talk about a religion news service story titled "Trump Names Religious Liberty Warrior Brett Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court," another subject that has many happy and others very nervous, the issue of religious liberty. We'll see what Dr. Beckwith thinks about calling him a religious liberty warrior.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority, they've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. thecleaningauthority.com.
Memoria Press now offers 6 levels of the Simply Classical curriculum for students with special needs. These full-year curriculum packages for children with learning challenges enable you to teach reading, writing, arithmetic, art, poetry, science, history, Latin, literature, and Christian studies with incremental classical methods. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and enter promo code LPR17 to save on resources for your home or school.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
The church's music from the 2nd century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The 6th century. The 12th century. The 16th century. The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh with Dr. Frank Beckwith, author of several books, including Politics for Christians and Defending Life. You can purchase these books under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Dr. Beckwith, I'm curious about the issue of religious liberty when it comes to Brett Kavanaugh. You had just mentioned before that, he has actually written opinions, both dissenting and in the, if I'm not mistaken, in the majority on some issues touching upon religious liberty. But to me, religious liberty has essentially become code for a number of things. One, people who object to the requirements of Obamacare when it comes to contraceptive coverage or abortion coverage. Two, the advancement, the people's concern about the advancement of the LGBT agenda. Those two things seem to be the big issues bearing down upon religious liberty. What do you think?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely correct. I think that the two areas, you mentioned Obamacare and, of course, the anti-discrimination laws concerning vendors, such as the Masterpiece Cake Shop case. Right now, the Supreme Court may hear in the near future a case involving a woman up in the state of Washington. She was or is a florist and designs floral arrangements, and there was a same-sex couple that asked to use her services. She declined, and she petitioned the Supreme Court. She had lost in the state of Washington, and the Supreme Court sent it back to the Washington Supreme Court and said, rehear this case in light of our decision in Masterpiece Cake Shop. So the question, interesting question now, if assuming Kavanaugh is going to be on the court, supposing the state of Washington looks at Masterpiece Cake Shop and says, well, yes, this woman, she was guilty of, violating her anti-discrimination law, but unlike Masterpiece Cake Shop, there was no animus or hatred of religion on the part of the judicial panel that ruled against her. She may appeal and hear it. The Supreme Court may hear it even after that. And it's going to depend on whether Kavanaugh is going to accept the reasoning of Justice Kennedy. Remember, for Kennedy, the reason why Jack Phillips won in Colorado, that is the owner of Masterpiece Cake Shop, was because the Human Rights Commission that assessed his case had said very negative things about his religious belief. So the question is, is Kavanaugh going to be the vote that's going to sort of change the reasoning there? That is, there were two concurring opinions, one by Justice Thomas and one by Gorsuch, where they said, really the issue here is a question of the ceremony that the vendor is asked to participate in. So they're not technically discriminating based on sexual orientation. They're discriminating based on the ceremony, and people do have a right, especially people in those kind of professions, not to participate in things that they find to be immoral or whatever. So it's going to be interesting to see where Kavanaugh goes if it comes back to the court. But I do think, given his background in religious liberty, as well as what he wrote in the case supporting the Catholic Priest for Life and their suit in the Obamacare case, I think for those of us who support religious liberty and think the court should be moving to support plaintiffs like Masterpiece Cake Shop, I think I'm confident that Kavanaugh is going to be voting the right way.
I think a lot of people are simply assuming that with Anthony Kennedy having been the swing vote, his seat being taken by an originalist, which will no longer be a swing vote, at least on the issues that matter to those who are rooting for Brett Kavanaugh, that there will be no other swing vote. It's suggested, however, by Micah Schwartzman in the Religion News Service piece that I referenced earlier, University of Virginia Law School professor, that while the court may move more to the right relative to where Anthony Kennedy had the court positioned, it may make it more likely that Chief Justice Roberts will be a swing vote. What do you think about that?
Yeah, that's an interesting theory. I know of Micah's work. I've actually read, I have not read that op-ed piece, but I'm very familiar with his work in religion and law. I think there's something to that, but I think that you have to understand, for Roberts, Roberts is what is called a judicial minimalist. That is, he wants to find, he may very well, let's say, rule with the conservatives, but he's only willing to provide reasons that are just enough for that position to win. He's not willing to go further than what is necessary for, let's say, one party to win in the case, because he wants to build a consensus. He would rather win 7-2 without making a big splash of things than, I would say, advancing an agenda and only winning 5-4. For him, what matters is the court's integrity and just the parties in that case. So this is why he, in the Obamacare case, he winds up interpreting the penalty for not getting health care as a tax, even though Congress didn't call it a tax. Because for him, the most important thing is to give great deference to the legislative branches, even if it means bending the interpretation of the law to where it's plausible but unlikely that that's the right interpretation. So I think Schwarzman is onto something here, but I don't think he's going to be the kind of swing vote that, let's say, Kennedy was. Kennedy was a swing vote in terms of particular issues. That is, on gay rights and abortion, he went with the liberals. But I don't think Roberts would be that kind of swing vote. I think he would be a more of a consensus builder because he has the role of Chief Justice, which differs from just being an ordinary justice on the court.
Kavanaugh is being referred to, and I think you did refer to him as well, as an originalist. Would you expand and explain that idea of that judicial philosophy to us?
Yeah, originalism says that the way that we interpret the Constitution is, we interpret it in terms of how the words were understood originally. Not sometimes people refer to it as original intent, and that's not quite right. It's the view that what would the ordinary person at the time have understood those words to mean? So, for example, something like the First Amendment's free exercise clause. What would the people at the time have understood free exercise of religion to mean? Well, we know they would at least mean the right to attend church services, you know, to proselytize, to share your faith with others, and so forth. But the question then is, you know, would it be permissible to have laws that restricted free exercise, but you didn't intend to restrict free exercise? Supposing we had a law that forbade the buying and selling of alcohol that had happened to impede, let's say, a Catholic or Lutheran or Anglican church that uses fermented wine in its liturgical services. Somebody like, let's say, a Justice Scalia would say that such a law would not violate free exercise, even though it happens to make it more difficult for people to exercise religion. And so there's actually a debate among originalists about whether the free exercise clause ought to allow for exemptions to generally applicable laws. So my point is that originalism doesn't solve all the problems. That is, it's a theory about how we should interpret the Constitution, but you may find, even among originalists, disagreements about how people understood particular provisions in the Constitution. So the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment, does it permit, let's say, separate bathrooms for men and women, even though, you know, you are, in a sense, treating people differently, right? And so for an originalist would say that, yes, equal protection is consistent with recognizing, let's say, differences, biological differences between men and women. So the question today, can the Equal Protection Clause be extended to issues like transgender? And so that's going to be an issue that I think the court is going to be dealing with, at least I think in terms of this law in the state of North Carolina. So originalism is just the view that we interpret the Constitution, or we ought to, as it was originally understood at the time.
With only about 30 seconds here, and you will forgive the cynic in me, but convince me that Justice Kavanaugh won't be another David Souter or Anthony Kennedy. About 30 seconds.
I think it's because of the existence of the Federalist Society. That is the group whose head has been Leonard Leo, who has been the kind of the chief counsel here for the president in terms of judicial appointments. And the Federalist Society has changed everything. When Souter and Kennedy were nominated, the Federalist Society was in its infancy, and things have changed dramatically since then.
Dr. Frank Beckwith is professor of philosophy and church state studies at Baylor University. He has authored several books, including Politics for Christians and Defending Life. Dr. Beckwith, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you for having me on the show. I enjoyed it.
When we come back, it's time to talk about whether or not Americans support Roe v. Wade. Just this morning, I read it again. Americans support Roe v. Wade to the tune of 75%. Is that true? We'll answer that question and others with Dr. Charles Camosi, Associate Professor of Theological and Social Ethics at Fordham University.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Are you tired of working out at big box gyms? You'll find quality personal training and qualified instruction at Performance Fitness in Edwardsville. You can even work out for a full 30 days before making a commitment to join. Find out more at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. Performancefitness618.com.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans and their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. lcms.org/armedforces.
In a city known for the latest in songwriting and the performance of music, we offer the sweet sound of the timeless gospel and the historic liturgy in worship. Redeemer Lutheran Church in Nashville, Tennessee is a place where God's people receive the gifts of Christ and sing praises with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven. If you are vacationing in Music City or are moving to the area, please join us for divine service at 10:30. Find out more at redeemernashville.org.
Others talk. We have something to say. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
LCMS Rural and Small Town Mission exists to support and encourage congregations in rural and small town settings. In partnership with LCMS districts, RSTM is uniquely positioned to make a major impact in revitalization support, community engagement and outreach training, congregational partnership development, and worker support through providing and developing resources geared specifically to rural and small town congregations. Check us out at lcms.org/RSTM or give us a call at our office. We're here to help.
As you head to the beach this summer, why not skip the trashy paperbacks and stick a few copies of the Lutheran Witness in your tote instead? With insightful articles from some of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's most compelling voices, the Lutheran Witness magazine makes for great reading at the beach, on the front porch, or wherever. Subscribe today at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.